Hi, and welcome to For the Love of Learning. This is Christine DiDomenico, and I'm joined by my co-host, Simone Padour. Simone, hi.
Hello, hello.
And today we have our guest, Michelle Edhouse, and Michelle is going to talk to us about cyber safety. And who better to talk about this? Because Michelle, my background with Michelle started with the Access Online School, and Michelle is our amazing techie person who I have learned a lot, I mean massive amounts from. So thank you, Michelle. And so she's going to talk about cyber safety and we're, you know, being in touch with kids, with your own kids, about issues having to do with the computer. So, hi, Michelle.
Hi, Christine. And I'm so excited to be here. This is a topic that right at this moment is very close to my heart. So I'm very excited to share what I know and contribute to others out there around this topic.
And I'm excited about the topic because I'm constantly hearing parents talk about the computer and worrying. There's such a worry about cyberbullying and so many points of view about it. So if you can give us a completely different perspective and some tools to use with all of this, I think it will give parents a sense of peace and more ease with the whole computer thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a lot of ease with computers right from the very get-go. Computers and the internet were only just coming in as I hit, well, the internet was coming in as I hit in university. And I actually did a computer science degree at university and have had a lot of experience over the years with computers and with internet. And the interesting thing for me was having come in already hitting adult level when at the beginning of the internet, when they started teaching cyber safety in school to my kids, it was like, never even thought of that sort of side of things. And it's been really interesting working with the kids, since I have two boys, one's 14 and one's 12. And over the years, as they've progressed through school, having little conversations with them about who they're talking to online and things like that has developed. And then recently we had a scenario show up in our house that I think most parents dread. And we've dealt with both cyberbullying and with predator type cyber activity in our home over the years. And the access consciousness tools that I have learnt being an access consciousness facilitator and attending classes have been such a massive gift to me as the parent. It's just brings a level of awareness into my parenting that has created a lot of ease when dealing with these situations. With computers, one of the biggest things that I would like to offer parents that are really concerned about cyber safety and things like that is the first thing for you to do is to get out of the significance of it, out of the scariness of computers, out of the scariness of the internet, out of all of that. And once you can step out of the fear, out of the scariness, then you can actually see what really is actually going on and be present with your kid and be able to ask the questions that will give you the awareness of what's required for you and your children. So can I start us off with a clearing to get rid of some of that?
Before you do that, just let me explain for people that may not have heard our show before or heard the Access clearings. One of the tools of Access Consciousness is to clear the energies that we have in certain areas. So, like, for instance, Michelle talked about getting rid of the significance of all of this. I mean, and that is such a big thing with parents. Like, it's so significant. And if we clear the significance of it with the clearing statement that Michelle's going to use, then you can actually be more aware and you can be more present with what is. So, Michelle, go for it.
Cool. So when we use the clearing statement, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask a question and it will bring up an energy. And then I'm going to run the clearing statement, which will clear away all that energy that's been brought up. And what I recommend to people is if there is quite a bit of energy that comes up, and if you're not used to working with energy, it may feel like a tightness or a constriction in your body. It may feel heavy or just a ugh-ness shows up. Then perhaps you might want to re-listen to the show and write down this clearing and run it a few times until that heavy yuckiness goes away completely after each time. So what have you made so vital, valuable, and real about cyber safety that keeps you from having clarity and ease with it for all eternity? And everything that is times a godzillion, will you destroy and uncreate it, please?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pod and pock, all nine voice shorts and beyonds. So what that clearing is like when we make anything vital, valuable, or real, it takes on a form of its own, a density, and you can't actually see anything else that is going on. It's like creating a wall in front of you. This thing is real. And if there's something on the other side of the wall that could actually give you more awareness, it can't get through the wall to you. So by running that clearing, it opens up the space to be able to see what questions are needed. So, for example, when my son, first thing in the morning, he was chatting online to a new Minecraft friend, and he got up and he closed his bedroom door. Now, the first thing that was, it triggered an awareness bell in my awareness. He's never a secretive kid. You know, at 14, yes, there are times that he closes his door, but not when he's chatting to male friends online. And so that definitely, you know, it's being willing to have that awareness of, oh, what's actually different? What's unusual about this situation? And being present with your kids, it actually doesn't take any energy. It takes more energy to not be present, to block out your awareness, than to be present with what's going on in their world. And so being present with them is just that whole awareness of, I need to get something out of my bedroom. And as you're walking down the hall, you notice they're closing their bedroom door. Now, I have no idea what I was going into my bedroom for that day, and I don't think... I needed to be at that end of the house.
You just cut out for a second. Okay.
Oh,
just for
okay.
a second. I don't know what happened, but...
What part did you miss? What did I say when I wasn't here?
What did you? Probably something really profound.
What did you hear then?
I heard everything except the last couple of words. It wasn't a lot.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I have no idea what I was going... Like, there's no cognitive... I was going to get my glasses from my bedside table or anything like that. But there was just a little thing in my awareness that said, you need to go and get something from your room. And that put me in the place that gave me the awareness that he was shutting his door. So when you shut off your awareness, it stops those little feather touches of awareness being able to give you the information that puts you in the right place at the right time to see the things that need to be nipped in the bud or questions need to be asked about. So one of the things that I see a lot of parents doing is creating a space where their children are only allowed on the screen for 20 minutes at a time, and it has to be in the lounge, and mum's watching over the shoulder. And so that they can be strictly protected as such. And to me, the biggest protection any child can have is you empowering them to know what they know. So when, by empowering them to know what's safe and what's not safe, you can then create a space where they can be them, they can have their fun, they can create what they're looking to create, but from their own awareness. So my target when I'm working with clients, both in classes and personal one-on-one classes, sessions, is to open up that space where they can be an allowance of their child choosing things by giving them the information they need to make the choices. So, for example, when my eldest closed the door, I called him through and I asked him, "So, what are you closing your door for, mate?" And he kind of looked. He had that energy about him, and I said, you normally only close your door for one reason. Is that what you're doing?" And he went, yeah. I said, "What, with a male friend on the computer?" And he's like, oh, okay. And so I was able to then just ask him some more questions about what it is for him, what he was choosing, what the guy was offering, and also give him the information about, you know, screen capture, pornographic sites, future effect of having that posted on your future job prospects, on how your kids might react if they find it in 20 years' time, their dad doing that on screen on some random channel somewhere. And I was able to give him that information. But by not being in significance of any of it, because if that was what he chose, I was actually willing to allow him to do it.
Yeah.
So I had no significance on what his end choice was. And again, that getting out of significance thing, but I was empowering him with all the information so that he had everything to make that choice from. He was just making the choice from, this guy says that if I do this on screen, he'll believe that I'm trustworthy and make me an admin on a Minecraft site. That's where he was. That's what the guy had got him to look at. What I was giving him was the whole picture, empowering him to have all the information and make his choice from that.
Right.
But I wasn't doing it from oh my God, this guy is mean, evil, bad, wrong, terrible. And I also didn't have the point of view that this is what that guy was going to do with that video, if he even took a video. I didn't even have a point of view that he would take a video. It could be that that guy really was just had a warped point of view about what made somebody trustworthy. And I actually had popped and potted or run clearings on myself very quickly in my head to get rid of that significance so that I could be present with my son and give him that information from no judgment, no significance. And it just created a space where my son didn't feel I was making him wrong. He didn't go into resistance and reaction and, oh, Mom, you're just stupid, blah, 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 or any of that sort of teenage behaviour. He took it all on board. He looked at it. He analysed it. And he's actually just continued his friendship with that person. So,
So that's a huge jump for some people to
absolutely
not make it significant. I can just see people like, how can I not make this significant? Now, can you talk about how parents can begin to not make things significant? Maybe this isn't the one right now.
It's kind of taking it to the way far extreme. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to show people
that in other.
I just wanted to show people that that actually is possible to be at that level of no significance, no judgment, and to be able to empower your child from that level. And so getting out of the significance can start from as little as when you see your kid watching a YouTube video that really you don't want them to watch. Okay, all the significance and judgments I have with this, pock and pod. Mm-hmm. And pock and pod is that short version of the clearing statement, and it's a lot easier to remember if you're just new to clearing it. just literally all the significance I have around my kid watching someone that swears, pock and pod. All the significance I have around my kid watching too much screens, pock and pod. All my definitions of what too much screens is. And you start to realize that if you had no judgment, if you had no decisions about what was right or wrong, what is actually possible?
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
I have a
question. Like with getting out of the significance, because obviously the way you're explaining it, it sounds like it's a muscle that people would probably need to build, rather than. You know, like, I'm not saying that they couldn't pod and punk, but going from, you know, like the example that you gave, most people who hadn't used the tools before, it would have been, their allowance would have been stretched to say the least.
Absolutely.
But I'm also wondering is with getting out of that significance, does that also give you more awareness?
Yes. Yes, it does. And that's kind of as I was describing at the beginning. The significance, the judgments, the decisions are all those little walls, and they may only have a slight tinge of colour to them. They're clear, but they've got a slight tinge of colour. But the more and more and more and more of them that you have, the more distorted the real world is.
Right.
If you can imagine, like, you know, the old saying of looking at life through rose-coloured glasses, and that really is the case with any decision, any judgment. You know, looking at the world through rose-coloured glasses is literally saying you have the judgment that there's good in everything.
Yeah.
And some might say that's a good judgment to have, but then can you actually see when something weird and wonky is going on?
So yeah, because you're supposed to look at the good in them.
Yeah, absolutely. So... all of those little decisions, judgments, and significances are a layer of lens, a coloured lens, that the more of them you take off. Sorry, if you could see me, my hands are going everywhere. the more of those layers that you can take off, the more you can actually have the awareness of what is actually going on.
Right.
So, you know, my awareness wasn't just that he was closing his door, but my awareness was also that he was chatting online to someone, and it was a male voice I was hearing. So
yeah,
it was those three pieces of information. And, you know, when I started researching online to get more knowledge about this kind of thing and see what else I can contribute to my son in regards to maybe videos about cyber safety and stuff like that, I found that there was actually somebody it was the parent of a six-year-old child who had been playing Minecraft on their Xbox. Now, a lot of people don't know that there is a chat function on Xbox. Even if you don't have Xbox Gold, there's a chat function. And random people, they see your child's username wandering around the screen, and they can chat to
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So many people don't know that. And this guy had walked in on his son chatting to this 36-year-old guy who was trying to get this kid to do stuff. And, you know, it's out there. We need to be aware of it. And when I'm saying aware of it, I'm not meaning in judgment of it. I'm not make it significant. I'm meaning be aware. Be aware of what your kids are doing. We now have the rule that if Aiden is playing computer games, or either of the kids are playing games online in their bedroom, they have their headphones off and their door open. And they both know what that is about. It's about we are all contributing to each other's safety.
Yeah.
He continued to be in the group chat that this person was in, and I started to point out to him the little things that the guy was saying to the other young boys in the chat that rang little bells for me that Aiden just didn't notice, you know. And so things like one of the boys comes from a broken home, and so this guy was saying, so how does it feel to be made an object? And the kid was like, what? So, you know, being an object that your parents fight over, and that, you know, and the kid's like, my parents don't fight over me. It's their problem. And there's quite a ease with regards to who we are. And I said to my son, look, dude, do you get what he's trying to do there? And he's like, looked at me really confused. And so I explained to him what the guy was looking to create. And my son was like, huh. And there was a number of little things, like one of the boys says, oh, yep, see you later. And the person said, oh, have you got to go? Oh, no, my parents have just gone out. And he said, oh, so you're alone. How long have they gone for?
Wow.
And I, you know, and I'm really grateful that I have created a relationship with my son. And it is some, again, it's a, from a space of no judgment, I was able to sit in the room and he allowed me to be there so that I could give him that information. And I said to him, so what's he looking at there? And then all of a sudden, those two disappeared off the Skype chat.
Wow.
And I said to my son, what's happening there? He's at home alone, and this guy and him have just disappeared off the Skype chat. And my son's eyes just went, wow. Oh! So he was starting to see, and I've started to empower him to see those wonky bits, those bits that should be starting to light up the sirens, if you like.
Yeah.
If you weren't in that space of no judgment, he would not even allow you to do that, right? I mean, he would be in so much resistance to mom being here and telling me all this, and yet he was totally open to receiving the information that you had.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, this relationship, it's something that I've deliberately created because I have no point of view about bodies, about sex, about masturbation, about all of those things. We have, and that's from clearing it out of my space, having noticed all the places that my life has been at because of my points of view around those things. And I've, over the years, I mean, I've been using the access tools for 8.5 years now. So I've had a lot of time to be working on myself and clearing stuff out of my world. And having no point of view about it in my world has allowed me to, you know, just be able to say things like, hey, dude, just clear up your tissues from beside your bed with no point of view. Even the idea that he should have a box of tissues beside his bed was my idea. Do you need any lubricant? You know, like, just very simple questions like that from no point of view has created a space where, hey, enjoying your body is not a wrongness. And there's things that can make it cleaner, easier, less offensive to other people. And because we've created that sort of relationship, having this conversation was a lot easier because there was nothing between us about talking about what this guy had asked him to do. We weren't trying to, you know, you hear about people getting to having to have the birds and bees talk. What if it wasn't a talk? What if it was something that when kids ask a question, you give them a little piece of information, and those little pieces of information start to add up to having had the talk? Same with cyber safety. When they're really, really small, hey, never tell anyone your real name or where you live.
Yeah.
Never give out your phone number and address. Those sorts of things. They've been saying those things to our kids here in New Zealand since they were 5.
Yeah.
So they've grown up playing computer games designed to give them the information of not, you know, Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, and you're talking to them by a computer, and they say, "So where do you live?" And you get it wrong if you tell them, you know, like, okay, right.
Yeah.
Wrong. And so they,
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say they've grown up with that in the school, and it's about carrying it on at home and, contributing to the awareness of what it can create if you don't.
So can you talk a little bit about this, whether it's cyberbullying or dealing with people on the internet or even in real life? I took a class last year called Lies, Lines, and Manipulations. Mm-hmm. And for me, it blew my mind that there were people out there with that kind of agenda. Like,
yeah.
What sort of tools and stuff do you use with your kids so that they don't have that rose-colored view, that they can actually have an awareness about when something isn't quite right, whether it's online or in their life, or like what is it that you do?
Yeah, the one of the things that is an access consciousness tool, and you learn it right in the very, very, very basic classes, is the light and heavy tool. And I talked a little bit about the heaviness when we were doing the clearing at the beginning of the call. There can, but what's light is right for you, and what's heavy is a lie for you. So when we do the clearing, anything that's heavy that comes up isn't actually yours. It's not true for you, and we clear that. With using that in your life, and again, it's about empowering them in little pieces, giving them little bits of information, asking them questions about, so is this feel light or heavy for you to go to your friend's place? Hey, Mum, Bob's asking if I can go to his place for a sleepover.
Right.
Okay, cool. So is that light or heavy for you? It's heavy. What about going to his place for a play date and then coming home after dinner? Oh, that's lighter.
Cool. So
it's using that light and heavy tool, and kids get it. They do manipulate it. So be willing to know your awareness of the light and heavy. My kids are really great at manipulating light and heavy when it comes to food choices.
Of course. I'm really good at that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, same. I'm sure they're duplicating it from me. But anyway. But that light and heavy tool, like if that's the only tool you ever empower your child with, it's such a huge gift, being willing to look at, hey, what is it that I'm creating here? What, and the extension of the light and heavy is, what will your life be like in 5 years if you choose this?
Yeah, and that's so good, that one.
Like in 5 years if you don't choose it?
Michelle, your sound just lowered a little bit.
Oh, sorry, is that better?
It's still a little bit lower than it was.
Weird.
You might need, it's fine for me. You might have to turn it up a bit, Christine.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So you teach them the light and heavy, and then you can ask them questions like, okay, cool. So if you chose to do what this guy is asking you to do online, what will your life be like in 5 years? What, if you chose not to do it, what will your life be like in 5 years? And, you know, if you're aware that it could be a, create an effect further out than that, what will your life be like in 20 years if you choose to do this? What will your life be like in 20 years if you choose not to do this? And allowing them to perceive the lightness or the heaviness of either of those options. And
it's amazing to me because I'm looking at this from an adult perspective who didn't grow up with these tools. And, you know, there was always sort of drummed into you, you need to be polite, you need to be nice, you need to, you know, like, right? So I had a situation online recently on Facebook, and they were like, oh, you know, I want to be friends with you. And that didn't feel light at all. And I was like, nope. And I looked at the five-year thing. I was like, oh, but there was this ingrained thing, and I didn't really truly get it till we have been having this conversation of, I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can't be rude. And that's just like bait for somebody who's out there like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, you were saying earlier that it blew your mind that people were out there with this sort of agenda. And what I've noticed is it's that need to be polite or need to not be judged or need to be received, need to be not rejected, all of those needs that what they prey on. You know, cyberbullying is a big, big thing. And, you know, when the cyberbully, if somebody is cyberbullying you, especially on Facebook or something like that, quickest way to get rid of them, unfriend them.
Yeah.
When your kid is functioning from a place of, but I only have three friends, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
Or I only have three friends, or I have no friends, and this person says they will be my friend, but I have to put up with this shit, excuse the word. Then they will put up with it. And
yeah.
So it's looking at, as you say, if you look at that space of what my life be like in 5 years, in fact, getting off the side of things, going to real life bullying. My son had a situation beginning of last year when he started a new school, where he was being bullied, and he was coming home absolutely distraught. And I asked him several questions, and what we got to was the point where he didn't believe that anybody could be unkind for no reason.
Yeah.
There must be something wrong with him for them to be being that unkind.
Yeah.
Now, if you're judging yourself because somebody is being mean, evil, and horrible to you, there's something you need to change about you. I said to him, dude, what if there is nothing wrong with you? What if it's his choice to be mean, evil, and horrible? And he just stared at me, just couldn't comprehend that somebody would choose to be that. And when it gets to the cyber stuff and you're sitting at home on your own receiving this projected at you, so with anything that causes a ugh in your world, anything that anybody says to you, it's your resistance and reaction or alignment and agreement to their, whatever they're saying, that causes the problem. So if you don't have any points of view that match what they're saying or that resist and react to what they're saying, then it's just like, oh, wow, what a horrible person to say something like that. And it's not about you.
When I was teaching, I would, you know, kids would come to me and say, he said this or she said this. And I would say to them, well, is that true? No, it's not true. Okay, so why are you buying it as true? You're just giving more fuel. And when they looked at it that way, they were like, oh, okay. But there's some people who get upset about things.
And it's unfortunately, it's what they see happen on all the teenage movies, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
You see something mean and horrible to you, and you get upset and get worked up, and oh dear, it's such a trauma and drama. Oh, I must go tell my friend, and we must all get really upset about how horrible that person is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're seeing. You know, I had my niece and nephew over, and my niece is 10, and you know, I haven't had a lot to do with girls, which I'm very grateful for, because I don't think I was a very good girl. I wasn't very good at being a girl when I was her age. But I was watching the stuff that she was watching on YouTube, and I was like, there's these 18, 19-year-old girls just like, oh, my goodness, oh, look, oh no, I can't put that colour with this dress because it would just be so terrible. And I was like, what the goodness gracious is going on here? I was like, what is that happening in her world as what's real and true? And I said to her, is this how life actually is, or are they just being drama queens?
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she went, yeah, they're a bit over the top, aren't they, Auntie Mickey? And I was like, yeah, they are. But what I did with that question was, instead of going, oh, they're terrible, bad, and wrong, I asked her, I empowered her to look at, is this real life? Is this how you need to act in life? Or is this drama? And so that to me is empowering them to look at, oh, get out of the whole I'm buried in my screen and actually look at what it is they're looking at. And often when we walk past the kids watching YouTube videos or stuff like that, we'll pause, we'll look at what they're watching, and we'll make a comment, make an interjection, ask them a question.
Yeah.
Wow, is this guy all, there's one particular Minecraft YouTube channel that they watch, and there's the main guy on it, and then he plays with his friend, and he's quite mean to his friend. It's quite a narcissistic comments that he makes to his friend, and regularly I'm like, wow, is that dude being cruel or what? Wow, that wasn't a nice thing. I don't think that's a very nice thing to say to somebody, especially when you think that they're friends. Mm-hmm. And it gets the kids to pop out of, this is how you behave, because that's what I'm seeing on screen. They actually look at, oh, no, that wasn't nice. And it's interesting, they've actually drifted away from watching that so much.
Hmm.
So just being, and it comes back to what I said right at the beginning, being aware of what they're choosing and being willing to be present in their world instead of going, oh, for goodness sake, they're just watching YouTube again, and shutting it off every now and again.
Well, and just
make a knowledgeable question or a comment or something. Be present in their world.
I mean, this may be elementary. Maybe you do this already, because I see the relationship with your husband. You guys are just, I love it. You guys are so fab. And I'm just thinking what you're saying about what you relationship you have with your sons. I mean, that easily could transfer to, you know, a grown-up relationship that you have with a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a whatever. Mm-hmm. Just being that presence with them, like how much could that change and not being significant? Because I'm thinking of my own self with my boyfriend, you know, doing his thing and watching the things he likes and then trying to show me. And I'm like, oh, God, he's showing me this again. And I'm like, not much allowance there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, the asking questions and being like, I'm not mean, be in their face the whole time and stop doing everything that you do so that you can watch everything they watch or anything like that. I would quit being a parent if that was what was required. I couldn't be that. Coming off the cyber again, my younger son came home from school the other day and he was talking about not starting a sport that he'd been invited to play by his friend because his friend was being annoying at school. And I said to him, oh, so what is being annoying to you? What was he doing that was being annoying? And Damien said, we were playing with this group and I wanted to go and get a drink of water. And my friend said, well, let's start the game over by the drinking fountain then. I mean, that's so annoying, Mum. And I said, so what's annoying about that? She said, well, how dare he do that? And I said, well, from my perspective, he was just making it easier for you to play the game with them by you not having to walk to the drinking fountain and back and missing out on some of the game. If they all went to the drinking fountain, you could all just start together. And he looked at me, totally gobsmacked, and went, huh? And I said, so what were you looking to create by going to get a drink? And he said, oh, I didn't want to play the game. I said, so did you tell your friend that you didn't want to play the game and so we're going to get a drink? Or did he think he was helping you to be able to play with them? And he was like, oh. And it's actually something that I've noticed in that particular relationship quite a bit is my youngest son just doesn't actually answer. His mate is on Skype. He's going, Damien, 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 Damien. And I'm like, would you answer him? And Damien seems to have that point of view of if I don't answer, he'll shut up and go away. And so we were able to have that conversation and I said to him at the time, look, dude, these are skills that you will be able to use in your long-term, like in your love relationships when you get older. I mean, he's 12. He's not thinking about being in love relationships. But I said to him, if I was saying to Dad, Glenn, 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 and he just totally ignored me, do you think I'd have stayed with him for 20 years? And he went, oh, no. I said, when I talk to your father, yes, sometimes I need to say it twice because he's engrossed in what he's doing or he just doesn't hear me, but I never have to go on and on and on with him. And if you'd said to William, hey, I'm going to go get a drink while you guys play this game because I don't really want to play it, he'd have gone, oh, okay, well, how about we play a different game? Or, cool, I'll let you know when we finish playing this game and you can come back. Anyway,
I mean, it's so cool because, I mean, I'm marveling because there's so many, like, awarenesses in my own head of, like, not being taught that. And let's say you have, you know, a parent or whomever in your life that if you said, I don't actually want to play and I'm going to go have a drink instead, that wouldn't be accepted.
Right.
So you would have to contort yourself in order so that, you know, and I just think it's so cool that right away he's like, oh, if I communicate this way, it's not a problem and I can just get on with my life.
Yeah.
So thank you for this.
But it's that sort of thing that I would never have thought to teach them, you know?
Yeah.
And if I was sitting in the point of view that I'm a bad, terrible, wrong parent, me noticing that he was having problems with his friend must be something wrong with me. Now, I've done a lot of work on this.
Right.
I have cleared a lot of points of view about being a wrong, bad, terrible, awful mother. And you know, it's still ongoing. I still have stuff to clear on it. I'm not perfect yet. And you know, to me, creating any sort of relationship, having the awareness to keep your children safe and empower them to know what they know is a 10-second increment of time process. And what do I need to be aware of now? What else is possible? How does it get me better than this? And now those are all access consciousness tools. And using those in your day-to-day living and using the POC and POD to clear away the weird stuff that you go, oh my God, I have that point of view, POC and POD that. And over time you can create, you know, there is no instant, interesting point of view, I have that point of view. There's no instant go from being a bad, awful, terrible parent who can't keep their child safe on the internet to instantly perfect and great and wonderful. It is something you create by choice every 10 seconds. And, you know, when it comes to cyberbullying, empowering, as I was saying earlier, empowering them to look at, wow, what is this person actually looking to create with this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I had no point of view about what they were saying, what they're saying about me, would it have any effect? And who or what can I say? If it's in a group scenario, one of the situations that Aidan was in beginning of last year was he was being bullied about his weight, and he has more weight than the average boy, and one of the boys was making comments about his man boobs. And he was being egged on. The jokes were being approved of as such by the other boys around them. And I said to Adam, well, what if you were to turn around to them and say, wow, do I turn you on so much that you have to look at my boobs all day? And Aidan just wet himself laughing. He's like, Mum! I said, but what would that create? this guy continues to bully you because he is getting the positive response from his peers. You turn around and make him look a fool in front of his peers.
Yeah.
Will he continue to bully you? And he's like, oh. And he actually did that the next time this kid did it. And
yeah.
And the guy just went bright red and turned and fled.
Wow.
And then after school, give the kid credit. After school, he met Aiden at the bike stands and he said, I'm really sorry.
Oh, wow.
I've been really cruel to you.
Wow.
And then
that's impressive.
Carry the story
that
on to
guts.
The little... It does. Carry the story on 6 months later. Like, that kid never bullied Aiden again, all right? Mm-hmm. 6 months later, that kid comes up to Aiden and he goes, I was Googling some comebacks when people are saying that you're gay.
Yeah.
I came across this really good one. It says, well, at least I'm straighter than the pole your mum was dancing on last night. And Aiden just thought that was hilarious. And I said to him, so is this guy being bullied about being gay?
Yeah,
and Aiden looked at me and went, oh. I said, so what was he actually bullying you about? And was your comment that got him to stop bullying you actually quite accurate?
Mm.
Yeah. It gives me chills.
Yeah.
So with any situation like that, it could be just you asking a question like, what can I say that would stop this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's a question that kids don't come in having, and it's something that we can empower them with. You know, my favorite access consciousness question is, what question can I ask here? And if something, anything weird or wonky is going on in your world, what question can I ask you that would change this? And then that will open up the doors for the awareness of, what could I say back that could change this? Oh, I could say this smart ass comment. You know? So it is about teaching them these tools of, okay, so what is this guy looking to create with asking me to do this on camera? What is this person who's bullying me looking to create with the bullying?
Yeah.
Which is so different from telling your kids what to do or giving them advice. That might help for the moment, but it's not giving them tools for the future.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Empowering them in any way, really, if we need to control and be the source of their, you know, getting along in the world. It just works in the long run.
And, you know, when you talk to any employee that's employing anyone 30 years or younger at the moment, that is the complaint they have of this generation that's coming through, is you have to tell them how to do, when to do, what to do, everything in minute detail. You have to give them tiny instructions.
Yeah.
And so by teaching your children to ask questions, what's required next? You know, I remember Simone Millicis, the author of Joy of Business, talking about their early morning routine with the son is to... Okay, what's next on your agenda for getting ready for school? Not now, go and clean your teeth. Now go and have your breakfast.
Yeah.
What's next to get ready for school? Empowering them.
Yeah.
Oh, what's next? Okay, I need to go and clean my teeth. Oh, what's next? Okay. And I took that on board. I used it. And within about 3 weeks of that, it went from me going, now do this, now do this, now do this, to...
Yeah.
being woken up as they kissed me goodbye to go to school because they'd got up, they'd had a shower, they'd had their breakfast, they'd cleaned their teeth, they'd got dressed and they'd made their lunch and they were ready to go. So, well, it sometimes only takes a little question, a little tool used for a few times, and they get it.
I need to.
Well, and the interesting. Sorry.
I just started supervising 3 student teachers that just for 2 weeks, and I see exactly what you're saying. They have a whole student handbook with all the information I have, yet I've had to check in with them so that they would turn things in. So I'm glad you're bringing this up, because it's just bringing up some tools I can use with them.
Yeah, these aren't just tools to use with kids. These are tools to use with anyone in your life, including your husband that doesn't put the seat down or whatever, No, putting the seat down is actually just a significance you have, really.
Yes.
Honest.
And I've never fallen in, maybe it's my butt size, but I've never fallen in the toilet.
I have on one occasion hit the cold porcelain. And as Gary Douglas says, I've never done it again.
No, you definitely have to do it once.
Yeah. And, my point of view is if they have to put the seat down, I have to put the seat up.
Yeah.
So why bother having an argument about it? Just check before you sit,
Getting back to using these tools and watching the change and empowering the kids and your kids and all that jazz and people in general, what I find so interesting is watching the kids that I knew that had started Access, because I've been doing Access since 2008. Mm-hmm. Seeing those kids now as adults, I mean, they are different. Like, even when they were going through teenage years, they are just different. And there's this sense of confidence and sense of self that, I mean, as a teacher, I rarely saw.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, really phenomenal.
And
so we're getting to the end of our time. Are there any last points you wanted to make, Michelle?
Yeah, I think just recapping, my main thing for any parent is to stay present in your child's world. It doesn't mean hovering over their shoulder. It means being energetically big enough to notice if something is wonky, And that comes down to when they walk through the door at the end of the school day, whether they've had a great day or not. That's being energetically aware. And you know what your child's natural joyful level is, and usually it's quite high for kids. And if it drops at any, if there's any sort of wave or wonk or weird bit in there, And that is what being aware of your kid is about. If there's a little bit of a wonk, when Damien came home from school and he had that thing in his world about his friend being odd, there was that wonk in his world. And that was when I was like, so what did you get up to today at school? And that's when it all poured out. It was being willing, normally it's like, how was your day at school, dude? Yeah, great, had lots of fun. It tells me a few little fun bits and off he goes. But he got home and it was, and I asked another question and it came out. So being that present and aware level with your kid, but also being willing to clear your own judgments out of your space before you start talking about something that, and that is as easy as, wow, all my stuff about this Pock and Pod. You don't need to be really clear about, everywhere I have points of view about how much nasal hair somebody should or shouldn't have, Pock and Pod. It just, wow, all this stuff that this brings up for me, Pock and Pod. And being willing to be no judgment, no significance, and ask lots and lots of questions that get them to see what's true for them and what's really going on. That would be in any relationship, but definitely in parenting.
Yeah.
Highly recommended.
That's great. Thank you. And Michelle, cool. People want to get in touch with you. I know you have a lot. Before the show started, you were telling me about all the things you're creating and the videos. And so how can people find all that information?
Yeah, cool. My website is accessyou, accessyou.nz. And on there, I have a question of the day newsletter series. Literally, I send you a newsletter and a blog post. And they range from business to money. And a lot of parenting stuff comes up because it's whatever's going on in my world that day. So if I've got parenting stuff going on, it's parenting that I'll talk about on there. And also self-empowerment, self-creating you as the joyful being that you naturally are. So that's a option if people wish to sign up. I do offer private sessions and I do offer telecalls and classes as well. So that's all on my website. And, you know, I have a YouTube channel where those vlogs are posted and that's all there. You can find all of that stuff. So accessyou.nz.
Cool. Awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
This has been amazing. I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
Yeah, me too. I mean, this is a huge topic for parents. So thank you so much,
Michelle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
And next week we're going to be joined by Julia Sotis. Join us next week. Anything else, Simone, before we sign off?
No, just thank you, everybody. This was amazing.
All right. Yay. Thanks for listening, everyone.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.